Miriam Schultz wants to tear the insides out and modernize, but it's on the Register of Historic Places, and there's not a damn thing she can do.
They drove around the south side of the lake. The town circled the lake, which was a 30-foot drop below the level of the road. Shadow could see the patches of white ice dulling the surface of the lake with, here and there, a shiny patch of water reflecting the lights of the town.
Looks like it's freezing over.
It's been frozen over for a month now. The dull spots are snowdrifts, and the shiny spots are ice. It froze just after Thanksgiving in one cold night. Froze smooth as glass. You do much ice fishing, Mr. Ainsel?
Never.
Best thing a man can do. It's not the fish you catch. It's the peace of mind that you take home at the end of the day.
I'll remember that.
Shadow peered down at the lake through Tessie's window.
Can you actually walk on it already?
You can walk on it. Drive on it, too. But I wouldn't want to risk it yet. It's been cold up here for 6 weeks. But you also gotta allow that things freeze harder and faster up here in northern Wisconsin than they do most any place else there is. I was out hunting once, hunting for deer, and this was, 30, 40 years back, and I shot at a buck. Missed him and sent him running off through the woods. This was over across the north end of the lake, up near where you'll be living, Mike. Now, he was the finest buck I ever did see. 20-point. Big as a small horse, no lie. Now, I'm younger and feistier back then than I am now, and though it had started snowing before Halloween that year, now it was Thanksgiving, and there was clean snow on the ground, fresh as anything, and I could see the buck's footprints. It looked to me like the big fellow was heading for the lake in a panic. Well, only a damn fool tries to run down a buck, but there am I, a damn fool, running after him, and there he is, standing in the lake in, 8, 9 inches of water, and he's just looking at me. That very moment, the sun goes behind a cloud, and the freeze comes. Temperature must have fallen 30 degrees in 10 minutes, not a word of a lie. And that old stag, he gets ready to run, and he can't move. He's frozen into the ice. Me, I just walk over to him slowly. You can see he wants to run, but he's iced in, and it just isn't gonna happen. But there's no way I can bring myself to shoot a defenseless critter when he can't get away. What kind of man would I be if I'd done that, huh? So I takes my shotgun and I fires off one shell straight up into the air. Well, the noise and the shock is enough to make that buck just about jump out of his skin. And seeing that his legs are iced in, that's just what he proceeds to do. He leaves his hide and his antlers stuck to the ice while he charges back into the woods pink as a newborn mouse and shivering fit to bust. I felt bad enough for that old buck that I talked the Lakeside Ladies' Knitting Circle into making him something warm to wear all the winter. And they knitted him an all-over one-piece woolen suit so he wouldn't freeze to death. Course, the joke was on us, because they knitted him a suit of bright orange wool so no hunter ever shot at it. Hunters in these parts wear orange at hunting season. And if you think there's a word of a lie in that, I can prove it to you. I've got the antlers up on my rec room wall to this day.
Shadow laughed, and the old man smiled the satisfied smile of a master craftsman. They pulled up outside a brick building with a large wooden deck from which golden holiday lights hung and twinkled invitingly.
That's 502. Apartment 3 would be on the top floor round the other side overlooking the lake. There you go, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Hinselman. Can I give you anything toward gas?
Just Hinselman. And you don't owe me a penny. Merry Christmas from me and from Tessie.
Are you sure you won't accept anything?
The old man scratched his chin.
Tell you what. Sometime in the next week or so, I'll come by and sell you some tickets. For our raffle. Charity. For now, young man, you can be getting on to bed.
Shadow smiled.
Merry Christmas, Hinselman.
The old man shook Shadow's hand with one red-knuckled hand. It felt as hard and as calloused as an oak branch.
Now watch the path as you go up there. It's going to be slippery. I can see your door from here at the side there, see it? I'll just wait in the car down here until you're safely inside. You just give me the thumbs up when you're in, okay, and I'll drive off.
He He kept the Wendt idling until Shadow was safely up the wooden steps on the side of the house and had opened the apartment door with his key. The door to the apartment swung open. Shadow made a thumbs-up sign, and the old man in the Wendt, Tessie, thought Shadow, and the thought of a car with a name made him smile one more time. Hinzelman and Tessie swung around and made their way back across the bridge. Shadow shut the front door. The room was freezing. It smelled of people who had gone away to live other lives and of all they had eaten and dreamed. He found the thermostat and cranked it up to 70 degrees. He went into the tiny kitchen, checked the drawers, opened the avocado-colored refrigerator, but it was empty. No surprise there. At least the fridge smelled clean inside, not musty. There was a small bedroom with a bare mattress in it beside the kitchen, next to an even tinier bathroom that was mostly shower stall. An aged cigarette butt floated in the toilet bowl, staining the water brown. Shadow flushed it away. He found sheets and blankets in a closet and made the bed. Then he took off his shoes, his jacket, and his watch, and he climbed into the bed fully dressed, wondering how long it would take him to get warm. The lights were off, and there was silence mostly, nothing but the hum of the refrigerator, and somewhere in the building, a radio playing. He lay there in the darkness, wondering if he had slept himself out on the Greyhound, if the hunger and the cold and the new bed and the craziness of the last few weeks would combine to keep him awake that night. In the stillness, he heard something snap like a shot. A branch, he thought, or the ice. It was freezing out there. He wondered how long he would have to wait until Wednesday came for him. A day? A week? However long he had, he knew he had to focus on something in the meantime. He would start to work out again, he decided, and practice his coin slides and palms until he was smooth as anything.
"Practice all your tricks,"
somebody whispered inside his head in a voice that was not his own.
"All of them, but one. Not the trick that poor dead Mad Sweeney showed you, dead of exposure and the cold and of being forgotten and surplus to requirements. Not that trick. Oh, not that one."
But this was a good town. He could feel it. He thought of his dream, if it had been a dream, that first night in Cairo. He thought of Zoria. What the hell was her name? The Midnight Sister? And then he thought of Laura. It was as if thinking of her opened a window in his mind. He could see her. He could somehow see her. She was in Eagle Point in the backyard outside her mother's big house. She stood in the cold, which he did not feel anymore, or which he felt all the time. She stood outside the house that her mother had bought in 1989 with the insurance money after Laura's father, Harvey McCabe, had passed on, a heart attack while straining on the can. And she was staring in, her cold hands pressed against the glass, her breath not fogging it, not at all, watching her mother and her sister's children and husband in from Texas, home for Christmas. Out in the darkness, that was where Laura was, unable not to look. Tears prickled in Shadow's eyes, and he rolled over in his bed.
"Wednesday,"
he thought. And with just a thought, a window opened, and he was watching from a corner of the room in the Motel 6, watching two figures thrusting and rolling in the semi-darkness. He felt like a peeping Tom, turned his thoughts away, willed them to come back to him. He could imagine huge black wings pounding through the night toward him. He could see the lake spread out below him as the wind blew down from the Arctic, breathed its cold on the land, forcing any remaining liquids to become solid, prying Jack Frost fingers 100 times colder than the fingers of any corpse. Shadow's breath came shallowly now, and he was no longer cold. He could hear a wind rising, a bitter screaming around the house, and for a moment he thought he could hear words on the wind. If he was going to be anywhere, he might as well be here, he thought. And then he slept. Meanwhile, a conversation. Ding dong.
Ms. Crow?
Yes?
You are Samantha Black Crow?
Yes.
Do you mind if we ask you a few questions, ma'am?
Yeah, I do, actually.
There's no need to take that attitude, ma'am.
Are you cops? What are you?
My name is Town. My colleague here is Mr. Rode. We're investigating the disappearance of two of our associates.
What were their names?
I'm sorry?
Tell me their names. I want to know what they were called. Your associates.